This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
You cut me too deep. I think I'm dying here, man.
Welcome to the 3B Video Deep Cut Podcast.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
Aw yeah, it's that time again for another bi-weekly podcast with your hosts, Rotten Roger DeMarco and
Evil Dead Inks, and this house is clean.
fucking fourth time's a charm, baby. Here we go.
It technically wasn't clean the first time they tried that shit, so it's been bullshit from Jump Street.
Mm-hmm. Like, you are lying. You don't know what you're saying. But here we are, the fourth entry in the Poltergeist franchise. It's time to get into the reboot. I heard that too. We got ghosts. We got Poltergeist.
Yeah, it's a screaming ghost going, no remakes.
Oh, no. Did you not like this?
No, I'm just voicing the general populace when we have nothing left to do but go to remake it. Like, well, we can keep making them, but Craig T. Nelson doesn't want to do anymore. So time for a fresh coat of paint and try it all anew.
And holler at your boy, Sam motherfucking Rockwell. But Evil, do you want to give the good folks out there in internet land a brief plot synopsis? I'm sure they've might have heard this before, but and then we'll just jump right in to the pool in the backyard.
But we don't have a pool this time.
That's true. We don't. We have a puddle in the garage. I'll settle for that.
Did you like Poltergeist? Did you think this could be better if we had Sam Rockwell in it and take out some of the other things, like no pools, minimal graveyard shit, but give me some heavy duty Insidious and what's the other movie I'm trying to think of? The Furthering. That is Insidious. I'm trying to mix The Conjuring in there. I'd say probably make it a mixed drink. Like, here's some Sam Rockwell, Insidious, Conjuring, and Poltergeist. Just a dash of Poltergeist. It's a sprinkle, definitely. And boom, we have your movie. Oh. But there is a caveat. This is, in fact, a Sam Rockwell feature film where he does not, I repeat, does not dance.
And that's a travesty. I want to just go ahead and jump right in with the general, like, populace, the horror community, whatever. When this movie came out, it was like a lot of vitriol. You know, a lot of like, why? It was perfect. Poltergeist is perfect. Leave it alone. Blah, blah, blah. And I saw this in theaters. And this was my turning point, right? This is when I was like, okay, so they remade it, but they didn't do a paint-by-numbers remake. They didn't do it you know what I mean? It wasn't like the Psycho remake, which I like also, by the way. But, like, we switched some stuff up, but we kept, like, the core of Poltergeist. Like, it's a haunting in suburbia.
Kinda. I felt, in a very different way, I felt some very 2010 Elm Street shit here. Not necessarily that there's a better film hidden in here, but, like, it has some elements that remind you that it's Elm Street, but it feels like things elevate too quickly out of the blue. Like, it doesn't seem like The Haunting kind of has a, you know, what am I looking, trying to
like word a ramp
here.
Up?
Yeah, a ramp up. Like, it doesn't, you know, slowly kind of this kind of there it is.
See, and I think, like, you know, we've discussed this so many times with these remakes, like with the Pet Sematary remake, where if you played them side by side, they're almost hitting the exact same beats at the exact same time, but there's something about the look that makes it feel faster paced. I mean, we literally start the movie almost identical to the original Poltergeist, with her at the TV and, you know, the whole they're here type of deal. It's almost walking right next to it. I will say this, even though I'm not a CGI guy, the tree at least was a little scarier in this one, because it fucking came into the hallway and dragged that kid up the fucking steps, Paranormal Activity style.
No. I saw that Sam Raimi was like has a producer role in this,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, that's where Sam Raimi's two cents came in. As the trees, the forest itself came alive and tried to get him. And yep. they definitely Sam Rockwell, great actor, wide range. Even though I feel like he plays a version of himself in every movie, he is underselling the shit out of driving home and seeing his child dangling from the top of a goddamn tree in the yard. Like, he's kind of like, well, that's the damnest thing I've seen tonight.
Yeah, not as scared as he should be in that moment, for sure.
No, he is underselling a reaction there
tremendously. I will say, but he makes up for it in all of the previous scenes. Look, there's something about Sam Rockwell that I'm just absolutely drawn to. From, you know, Green Mile to Three Billboards, everything he does, I'm like, God damn, he's so good. And or like Richard Jewell. But like in this movie, when I watch this, you know how like we both kind of like vibe with Craig T. Nelson as like that suburban, not fit dad that's like, I'm a beer drinking, football watching dad. This is the other side of that coin, where you have like a suburban dad who is not even attempting to be manly in the slightest. He's just a dad.
He's modern day dad. He's relatable dad to our generation.
Mm-hmm. And it's so faithful and so like spot on. You know, they're facing the best scene in this whole movie for me has nothing to do with ghosts whatsoever. Is they're struggling so hard money-wise, and he has to go buy those squirrel traps, and, you know, the cards are declining, and then, like, he has one card that still works, and it's like, okay, well, and I'm going to just, here's pizza, here's a new phone, here's this, here's your new drone, here's all, like, overcompensating for the fact that they're struggling, because he doesn't want to give off the vibe that they're struggling, and boy, howdy, does that kind of hit home on a cellular level with me.
But I mean, nobody's working in this movie. Like, they're right. Even accused, like, your mom's not working. Like, she has a job, it's taking care of you. But I was like, yeah, that still doesn't pay, and he's out of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a writer.
She's a writer, but like, she's not writing, and I don't know what the hell Sam Rockwell is, what he was doing. Like, apparently
he was selling John Deere mowers.
Just selling mowers. I know there's the talk of he had a baseball career that, you know, fizzled out from injury, and there's talk of like becoming a teacher of some sort, maybe physical education or shit, who knows, maybe working at Dick's Sporting Goods, I don't know. But nobody's working in this movie, and that's seems to me not a time to go and buy a house.
Right. I think they had to downsize because they could not afford their previous living situation. But yeah,
that is when a downsized looking house. That thing is fucking huge.
Because when they're looking at the house, he tells the lawyer, like, oh, yeah, you know, I worked for John Deere, but they just fucking laid me off. Like, he's pissy about it. And, yeah, I guess maybe it would be more realistic if they had moved into an apartment. But, you know,
that's the 2023 version of this movie. Right. Because no one moves into a house anymore.
For movie sake, and especially to keep it on brand with Poltergeist, they had to move to tract home suburbia. You know, where everything is exactly the same and just
give me a sweet deal in this place next to a moved cemetery, which is totally kind of in the background, a dropped thing. Oddly, mm-hmm. something I thought they would utilize if they didn't, the power lines. I thought that was going to be a bigger thing in the movie.
Yeah, because like every time you see the power lines, you got the like you can hear the voltage.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, you assume that's going to happen.
Something.
I suppose that's where like the entities can travel through or something to follow them. I guess,
you're thinking of Pulse now.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, mix them together, you know. Not that shitty Japanese remake of Pulse, the one with the Lawrence brother.
Kristen Bell?
I don't like that. I don't like that one. The one with the Lawrence brother where like he moves in with his dad and all the electricity is trying to kill him. You don't know that Pulse? Dude, no. That movie's fucking fire. You got to see that. That will be in your wheelhouse immediately.
Sounds like Shocker.
It's so fucking fun, dude. It's so fun. Yeah, we're watching that next time we're hanging out. But
add it to the list.
Yep. This movie, to me, I'm going to stand on that hill and defend it, because I just, as much as you want to like shake your fist at the clouds and go, but it's Poltergeist, leave it alone. Like, I feel like it's separate enough to where if it wasn't called Poltergeist, like if it was just fucking Insidious 9, or, you know what I mean? Something like you would probably like Insidious
Conjuring the next chapter over on the left.
This is the like there's PG all the con or all the Insidious are like PG-13. This is the PG Insidious. You know, we don't have like the creepy frozen ghosts that are like dudes dressed like girls or whatever. But like we do kind of hit all of those same notes because that was what was popping in horror at the time. And so
we get a little bit of that when we go into the other side slash way definitely the further this time around. Mm-hmm. Like when we see the drone flying through the further other side, I'm like, this definitely feels exactly like everything else right now going on. And it still looked kind of cool. Like it definitely had some fucking Dream Master shit. When we were,
I was just going to say, what it reminds me of is the Dream Master.
Yeah, we're spinning around and just seeing corpses that are just halfway stuck out of shit.
But the CGI, like it's, you know, CGI instead of practical. But yeah, very Dream Master-esque. I totally had that written down to be like, dude, it's like Dream Master.
100%. I seen it. I seen it. Like, I've seen this movie before. They're taking good shit.
I also think it was a smart choice to not name that little girl Carol Ann.
Maddie.
And to give her dark hair, because I feel like if her name wasn't Carol Ann and you gave her that like platinum blonde hair, I don't know that it's offensive, but I think it would be like, really, you know, I mean, because there's only one Carol Ann, and I'm like, I don't know that you need to. I like your idea we talked about 2 weeks ago where we talk about like maybe they did like a Poltergeist now, like Carol Ann now, so we wouldn't have to wouldn't have to be Heather O'Rourke. We could cast someone else to be grown up Carol Ann, and then like the entities come after her. But this works, having her little brunette that's kind of got like,
she has the same essence. I feel like she has the same essence.
Yeah, and the little potty mouth here and there, like she's a fun kid. She's a really fun kid.
Yeah, and they did actually something with the older daughter. She's actually a crucial character for a change in this one. Mm-hmm. They gave the son actually a plot line to do, so he has
he's fun too.
He's got like a lot to do, but I think because of that we switch gears and we had Joe Beth Williams as kind of the real champion of the original series, for first two anyway. I feel like that character, Sam Rockwell's wife, has not a whole hell of a lot to do in this movie.
Right. Well, and so
except
I
tell
also,
Sam Rockwell to take his pants off.
Mm-hmm. I got sad underwear. But
we all do.
The older sister, which I think is Brighton Sharbino, if I'm not mistaken, who plays that older sister, she kind of assumes the role of our lead, which is you know, flip side of the coin from the original where that the older sister is there and then just kind of disappears. This time we have the older sister front and center, and like with the whole I'm babysitting and you know, she's the one who knows the haunting guy on TV to get a hold of him and blah blah blah. Like she's kind of our through line. She's almost our lead.
Yeah, our new Tangina. He's an interesting feller.
Yeah.
Mainly because I know him from Mr. Deeds. He's the guy running the public newspaper, like the Inside Edition looking show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to. I'm picturing he's just playing a fucking cheapskate role here.
Yeah, he does a fine job. I think I think that's a smart choice to, you know, because around this time we have. Still going on. We have like 400 fucking Ghost Hunter shows. They're all the goddamn same. And, you know.
Never catch just, a damn one.
No, and there's tons of fucking YouTubers too who do the same thing. Like, oh, we're going to go to such and such manor, whatever, whatever. And like,
looking
it's
at
all,
you, BuzzFeed.
It's all bullshit. And.
Bullshit, BuzzFeed.
And it's perfect. It just fits perfect to have this guy be a TV hack. You know, it's very Fright Night.
Yeah. Oh, good call. Very good call.
Very Fright Night. Very fun. And I kind of put it in that same like area. This isn't a movie that's going to scare you. It doesn't like freak me out in the slightest, but I just, it's a good 90 minutes. It's a good fun movie. And again, walks that line with no nudity, no like ultra violence, but yeah, like it's just fun.
How you like Sam Rockwell? I think he does a very good beat the shit dad.
Yes, yeah.
When he plays looking tired very well. Like he looks like he's really just in the shit.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's great, dude. He can wear mileage on his face very well.
Oh, there you go. That's the best way to put it. He went from 0 to 700 real quick.
Yep. If you ever get a chance to watch Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, I mean, that's a masterclass for him.
He's talking to you, the audience. He's not talking to me. I have
seen it. Anybody, yeah, because I want to talk about that movie. I could watch that movie every day of my life.
He switches gears completely in that from being someone I want to see get the shit beat out of him to I'm ready to see him beat the shit out of somebody, which is a pretty impressive turn.
Yeah, yeah, he's fan-fucking-tastic in that movie.
Does he dance in that movie at all? He's not dancing in it either. Holy shit, we got two movies.
Listening to his headphones when the police station gets lit on fire, but he doesn't dance. But
where do you put this in Sam Rockwell like performances? Do you have a top three Sam Rockwell since you're the Rockwell fan? What's your top three Rockwells?
Well, I mean, Three Billboards is up there. I'm a real big fan recently of the movie Richard Jewell, where he plays a lawyer. Really like that. This is up there, dude, because
he's a good skeezy shit in Iron Man 2 for me.
Yeah. Also, what is it?
Ninja Turtles. He's in
Clown House. He has a pretty fun role, but you're not allowed to like Clown House, but I do like Clown House. So he's a good shitty brother in that movie.
And if you've ever seen Clown House, you can understand why it's not a cool idea to like Clown House. But
right.
Nostalgia fuels things. Still never seen The Green Mile.
Are you for real?
Yes, I'm for real.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I'm always for real.
Green Mile is phenomenal, but yeah, this movie is up there for me, and not necessarily like the movie as a whole, but obviously his performance.
He's fucking amazing. He has no shirtless scenes, unlike Craig T. Nelson. He's not smoking weed, and like he definitely is the dad of the generation going on now, 100%. I guess that's something we don't have in this movie that is something that's in the other ones. We don't have the family doesn't have any animal pets other than the squirrel that's loose in the fucking attic room.
That's true. I love that scene, too. Like, you got to stop being such a wuss all the time. He's, like, trying to give his son a pep talk, and then that squirrel jumps at him, and he fucking loses his shit.
That's good. The clown thing is bizarre in this movie, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You can't live up to the original clown.
It looks how he discovers a shit ton of clowns in the wall.
Oh yeah,
kind of weird.
Yeah, they're just there, which is all very strange because these are new homes.
That
right?
feels like that feels super shoehorned in.
Mm-hmm. Like oh yeah, we can't forget the clown. That's obvious, or like that's one of my least favorite aspects in this movie. I do kind of like how this movie tries really hard to kind of encompass things from the entire franchise, which is like why they kind of go back to that puddle.
Yeah, that's some weird shit too. It feels like Creepshow 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oozing really? Out of the dryer or whatever.
Yeah, it's like looks like an oil slick. I don't know, Pancho. I've never really seen an oil slick. How about it, Pancho?
I can't seem to get worried about it.
Huh? You know what I mean? But this movie does a really good job of just kind of cherry picking moments or feelings
from
the
first
previous
two
films. Yeah, for
no
sure.
Nobody's pulling shit from three except would.
We do get I think we get a couple mirror gags. We get at least one or two mirror gags where the lead little girl is like talking to her, talking to the spirits in the mirror, and then she turns. And her reflection stays facing forward or whatever.
Gosh, I don't remember that.
I think we get one or two aspects of mirror stuff. But
that's the thing is, even if you love or hate this movie, for me, when I get done with it, immediately some things start leaving my mind. Like character names didn't stick with me. Some details like that, the mirror thing didn't stick with me. Oddly enough, though, the kid at the stairs getting stuck kind of did stick with me. I was like, that looks actually pretty okay.
Oh, when he can't move? Yeah.
Yeah, for CG stuff, that looks pretty all right.
Mm-hmm. I also really like the, once the paranormal investigators show up, and, you know, they're very, like, you think your parents making this up? You trying to make some money?
Like, you guys lying? That's a good aspect, somebody being like, no one in this house is fucking working. Is this in the system Amityville shit? Y'all just trying to make some money off this?
Mm-hmm. And especially the one guy who's the most skeptical.
That gets the most shit done to him.
Yeah, getting really fucked within the closet where we get the slumber party massacre drill, essentially. Like, it's holding him against the wall and the fucking drill's getting closer and closer to his face. Really good stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good tension builder. You know, I was like, where does this guy get off just, you know, willy-nilly putting holes in this wall?
Right. I had a drill.
You don't live here, man.
A big-ass hole in the wall to put this temperature gauge. Like, no, you don't. Use some of that fucking double-sided tape or whatever. It doesn't weigh anything. It'll hold. I guarantee it'll just hold right there.
One word, sir. Adhesive. Use an adhesive.
2-inch fucking drill bit.
You're cool with this, right?
Not necessary. Yeah, drills into the fucking, like, adjoining bedroom's closet. Almost kills the older sister. Like, Jesus Christ, man. Like,
professionals.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're true professionals. But that's another cool aspect with this movie. I mean, they do it in the first movie, and it's, you know, it's pretty much the trope of all paranormal films. Like, the entity does it. Like, anytime you've got, like, a crew of people, they got to set up all the cameras, they got to set up all the sensors and all that hoopla. It's a fun sequence. Feels very Insidious, but you know, because it's kind of like laden with that humor of everybody. They've got a little bit of humor to them, so it doesn't seem like as deadpan serious like with the entity.
Oh shit! Yeah. There's no lightheartedness in that ghost rape film.
No.
Not drop. At all. But how do you feel about the shoehorning in? I feel of getting the Tangina character in.
Oh, with the paranormal guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that he just happens to be a former lover of, or, you know, potential spouse of the people that just happened to be coming to investigate. Like, that's an awful coinky dink, isn't it? That you just happen to know the guy.
That's a stretch.
But, and also that the daughter's watching it. Like, I can, like, take one of those elements out. Either they don't know who he is, or they're not related, or they've never seen each other before.
Right. I'm okay with it, I suppose. But I get what you're saying, where it's like, man, that's a lot of ducks lining up or whatever. You know, that's awfully convenient for the story. But, you know, we had to have one. We had to have that guy.
I mean, yeah, we had to have him, but I'm like, man, just do it a little differently.
So, yeah, I think it's a bait and switch, because we're intended to believe that the girl who shows up is going to be our new Tangina, and she's like, I'm a little over my head. I'm going to holler at...
I'm a teacher.
Yeah, I'm going to holler at the homeboy. So, I get what you're saying. I feel
what happens to him? What the hell happens to him at the end of this movie? Because I have no idea. Is he alive or is he dead? Is he coming back? What is the deal?
I think he's stuck in the new further, the CGI further. Because doesn't he, like, isn't there... Did you watch the regular cut or the extended cut?
I'm not sure.
Don't remember?
No, I did the digital version of it, so I don't know if I even had an option for that. Probably, I think extended cut.
Because I feel like there's an extra, like, couple of seconds.
He has a heartbeat or something that goes on the computer at the very end, showing that he's still in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
And so, really. Yeah. Yeah, he's on the other side. You got to put that rope and let him fall through the ceiling or whatever. But, yeah, I think he's just stuck in the further. So, I also think they were really thinking they were going to get another movie out of the deal, you know?
Really? You think they were planning on more sequels out of this?
I mean, yeah. Look at, like, you got to end it on that type of note, like the Elm Street remake, the Friday the 13th remake. They all kind of end like that, so you can go, if this makes a ton of money, dog, like, we're ready. And
just in case. And then if it doesn't, like most of the remakes tend to kind of do, it's dead in the water.
Yeah, Pet Sematary, we're looking at you. Yeah, so I feel like they were anticipating, like, if this does good, you know. I mean, everyone loves these movies. Everyone loves the Insidious whatnot, and, you know, Insidious was going strong, putting out a new movie every year. Oh, yeah. For, like,
this is like
7 years.
2015, we're at the height of that shit.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like Insidious was, you know, about to take its break or whatever. So they were like, we need something new that can we can pop one out every year so that we can get butts in the seats every Halloween. And this was going to be it. And
what would you take the story to next? If you had to write the sequel, what would you do? What would you do here? What would be your... Would you bring more of the Tangina dude in? Or would you leave him out? Would you follow the family? Would you cut some of the family off like they did in the previous movies? Like, where would you go from here? I have no idea where you would even go.
Yeah, see, I don't know. Because, you know, what's going to happen? Would they go live with their grandma or whatever? You know, like, you just... I don't know where you go from here. But
we don't even know where this family goes after this because they move out and they're still looking for a new place.
Yeah. But I would not have been opposed to another one because, like I said, it got over and I went, well, that was fun. Like, I didn't go, eh. I went, that was fun. And so if another one would have popped up on the horizon, I would have went, okay, you know, I'll give it a go.
It leaves you with a good, That's probably the summation of it for me was,
Yeah, and it's not like it doesn't break the Baby Driver rule, which is, you know, it's important to us. But it doesn't, when it gets over, you don't go, well, I hope I never have to watch that ever again in my life. You go, well, you know, sometime maybe. Like, you know, you're optimistic about it. Like, I'd give it a go again, but it's not like it's going to be, I'm not going to watch it again tomorrow. And I'm not going to, like, it's not going to jump immediately to my wheelhouse, but...
It's an hour. It's an hour 42 that doesn't necessarily feel like, it's an hour and 42 minutes. It actually, which kind of was deterrent for me when I watched it. I was like, too long for me. For the time of day I watched it, but I was like, it kind of went by all right. It didn't feel like it dragged too much anywhere, really.
It's pretty fun.
I got into it, so I didn't check my phone, check my watch, which is always a good sign, because... Usually at some point you're like, where are we going? Are we going anywhere? We're kind of stalling here. I didn't really get a great deal here. So I'll say I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. But I'll say, well, when I got done, I went, meh.
Yeah. It's just going to have to take over for your Poltergeist 2 in a few years. You know, like you were saying, like when you cut Poltergeist 2 out of your diet, you'll have to be like, Poltergeist, the remake it is. Poltergeist Light.
Yeah, there you go. Diet Poltergeist. That's what this is right here. Half the calories. Pretty much the same taste, but a little different. A little twangy, maybe.
Right. This is Cherry Poltergeist.
And I'm not a huge Rockwell guy. Like, he's a guy that I like everything he kind of does. He does well, but I'm never like, yeah, Sam, let's see that shit. Every time I'm like, this guy, but I end up more or less being like, yeah, he did pretty good.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Anthony. So
I feel like he's a better shitty actor than he is trying to be a sympathetic guy. Like, he's great at being a piece of shit like Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's good just a dingus.
I think he's a good, like, everyman. So, like, he can have all of those aspects. He can be funny. He can be serious. He can be shitty. He can also be kind of an action-y guy. Like, Seven Psychopaths is fucking incredible. But yeah, that's just where I just keep going back to Sam Rockwell and how much he kicks ass in this movie. But I also want to kind of talk about, like, some of the practical stuff that's in this movie, and, like, set design and stuff is all really well done. I feel like it's not the look of this movie doesn't feel like phoned in or copied and pasted. Even though, like we're saying, we get heavy like Insidious vibes, it doesn't have that Insidious like color palette.
It kind of does, but it doesn't feel like they cheated doing it.
Right. Like Insidious has a lot of like muted colors.
Blues, and then grays.
And then you bring in the blues and reds when it's like further stuff. But for the most part, throughout this movie, like we don't have a muted color palette. We have kind of a poppy, bright, I don't know how to explain it, because it makes it feel like summertime. A little summery.
A little bit, yeah. It feels like it's a summertime kind of movie. Kind of like the other ones, it's spring, summer kind of vibes to it. Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. with you there. I get what you're throwing down.
Yeah, just overall like color palette with like the house and like people's wardrobes and stuff. I do think it was also pretty cool how when the entities first show up, I guess that's the utmost of the electricity, like you were talking about the power lines.
The doorknob.
So you got the doorknob, you got static electricity, and also when they first show up, it like fries electronics, like it breaks the TV, breaks her phone.
I love that, like, so it's like a static on the phone and shit is completely alien to these folks. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is the generation that has no idea what snow TV is.
Right? Yeah, you don't know. We were forged in the fire, son.
And they're getting in here and they're like, what the hell is this shit?
I also, I mean, it's movie, it's plot, it's script, right? But like, the most chicken shit kid in the family, they're like, yeah, guess what? You could sleep in the fucking unfinished attic. Like, this will make a man out of you.
Which is, you know, I feel like the daughter should be up there, the oldest one.
That's the most privacy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He should have a small room in the corner next to the parents' room.
Mm-hmm.
Which is right next to Maddie's room. Yeah. But like he plays the chicken shit bit of like, it's my fault. I'm gonna go into the further now and get her back.
Mm-hmm. I also like when Sam Rockwell comes home when he has bought all the stuff. So like before he's buying all the stuff, we get this scene with the younger brother who's supposed to be like picking up all of his stuff, and like all the comic books are stacked up and they fly all over the place and it freaks him out. And just like a kid, you know, they're so excited and they want to talk and they want to tell you, you know, their day or what happened. And Sam Rockwell comes home with all these gifts and the kid is hyper. Dad, guess what? Dad, blah, 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 trying to talk to him. And the dad is real dismissive.
Like, and kid, just, you know what? Take this drone and shut up.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, and then the wife is harping on him because we don't have this kind of money. Why are you spending this money? Blah, 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 blah. And like,
we're filing bankruptcy, y'all. This is going to be cool anyway. Just don't worry about it, babe.
Like the tension is building from an adult perspective because, mm-hmm. you know, like we live it.
We're drowning in finances. We get it. We feel you, Sam.
Yeah. So you can feel the tension between him and his wife, and the argument is just, it's just building, and it's almost like you're just getting anxiety listening to it. And you got that kid who just is fucking like any kid. They never shut up. They just fucking. And then eventually the mom's like, shut up. Like, Jesus, you're a baby. Like,
yep. And then she's like, oh, shit.
I fucked up. But like, I love that scene because it, again, feels so very real. Like, you're so wrapped up in your own shit. And you do, like, of course you want to like listen to your kid and be nice to your kid, but like, you got a million things going on, and so like your response might not be the nicest response. And
sometimes things just snap, and you just Yep,
and it's good, man. It's like
it's real. Writing. Of all the movies, that's the realest kind of scene in the whole movie. Yeah,
absolutely.
I can definitely feel you now going back on it. Like I felt it then, more and it's more so now when you talk about that.
Yeah, that's just really good writing. And then, I mean, they just, the way it's edited, the way everybody delivers their lines. I mean, that could be in any movie. That could be in any movie. It doesn't have anything to do with fucking Poltergeist.
Shit, that could be its own movie.
Yeah. It's
Lifetime fucking, can handle that shit easy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the Lifetime writers, man. They as much as we make fun of them fucking made-for-TV Lifetime movies, they be hitting those emotions.
Just put this in that category and take the ghost out, and you got a Lifetime movie, 100%.
Yeah.
Poulter finances.
You got Fred Savage as the abusive boyfriend.
Jesus Christ.
I'm on steroids, man. But, God damn it.
Not believable at all. Ben Hooflick, much more believable going on a psychotic steroid rage bit. Fred Savage, what a... Like, really? Fred fucking Savage?
With your fucking curly hair.
Yeah.
You're so intimidating, dog. Man, I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I wanted to touch on with this movie that we haven't touched on.
I can't think of anything, but it didn't stick with me as well as it stuck with you. I remember you was a big fan of this when it came out and was telling me about it, and I just put it in the shelf going, yep, I'll get to it eventually. Mm-hmm. And I literally didn't get to it until it was time to review it for this very show.
It's a fun movie, and I kind of urge people, if they have looked at this movie or saw the trailer and went, why'd they remake Poltergeist, and leave it alone?
Which was kind of what I felt like when I first saw the trailers for it. Like, nah.
All right, but you reconsidered. I mean, we had to because we're covering the franchise, but do you...
I mean, we chose to do it, so that's like we forced our volunteerness of it, so it's not really, but really kind of. But, I mean, anything that you give a thumbs up to, I kind of go, he knows me enough to... He's not going to steer me too wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't like this isn't an art house movie. This isn't an A24 movie. This is just a dumb, fun hour 40 minutes.
And I can put it in that category.
And there are like people in our immediate circle. If you're listening to this, Snarls, I'm calling you out. He said,
"Has he not seen this?
He's never seen this, and because he just never had an inkling because it's a remake of Poltergeist, and just didn't."
I understand. I understand you.
Yeah, and so like I feel you, dog. But you know. Next time you're around, borrow it. Give it a go. Totally worth that hour, 40 minutes.
It passed by my sniff test, so it should definitely give further credence to, all right.
Yeah, well, it's not going to change the world. It's not like the most incredible movie ever, but it's not as bad as...
You think it... It's not as bad as you personally will think it's going to be.
Yeah, and that's why I just don't get the bullshit on the internet, because so many people were like, don't touch it, leave it alone, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm in that boat of, you know...
Wait a minute. You're telling me people hate something on the internet? Is that what you're telling me here?
They sure do. Those sons of bitches.
I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. The internet's a wonderful, magical place where only sunshine and rainbows come out. And you can't tell me there's hatred on the internet. Hatred on the internet. That's what you're telling me here.
Do a little bit of research, because there's a magical land out there on the internet where... people voice their opinions, and they're not always nice.
Ooh, that sounds like you're coming across the unicorn of the one and only hatred spot on the internet of those Amazon one-star reviews.
Hated it.
All right, William Ben Burks, February 19th, 2023. One star. Why?
Oh, William Burks, you're just like everybody else.
Rondell Del Branch, April 19th, 2022. One star. Such a bummer. Totally cringy remake. So bad.
False, brother. False.
Jeremy, April 9th, 2022. One star.
The
Jeremy. One and only Jeremy. He says, one star. Fun. Not bad.
I don't know how stars work.
Dana Lindsay is Linson Linness Lin L Y N E I S Linness. How do you say Dana Lines is not gonna work here anymore. September 10th, 2021. One star. Sucks right out loud. Not trying to be mean, but could not make it through.
Sucks out loud?
Sucks right out loud.
That's fucking hilarious. It certainly does suck.
Get a load of this guy, Cam.
Hey.
Oh, this sucks. Sucks cut. It sucks as it cuts. Nichole, on December 3rd, 2015, one star. Are you kidding me? The worst remake I've ever seen. My five-year-old tried watching it, and she thinks it's funny. I had to buy the original halfway through. I had to buy the original halfway through this. It was that bad. Don't waste. So she watched it halfway through and was like, buying the original instead.
Yeah. You know what's better? The original. Well, I mean, yeah, but how are you going to just give up halfway through? I mean, I can probably count on one hand the amount of times I've started a movie, like, that I've purchased or whatever, and been like, no, not going to do that.
Could you name one? Give me one. Besides a Serbian film. But you did end up finishing
I finished that. I finished that.
But you contemplated it.
It's true. House of the Dead?
Really? You've never finished House of the Dead?
No, I have. I finished it.
Well, but you thought about not finishing it. Really? I had fun with the first one. The rest of
I know
the second
you, I know
one,
you have. I can't believe. The second one is better than the first one.
And I don't agree with that. I'm like, this second one is bullshit. I don't like this at all. Give me the first one again.
Ugh.
Give me Captain Kirk. Jürgen Prochnow now makes any movie 100 times better.
That fucking... Boy, that movie's terrible.
I disagree.
It's fun. Like, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. I'll watch it because it's bad. But when I didn't know that it was bad...
The chick from Biff Naked is in the movie as the DJ. That's all you need to know for awesomeness. All right. Lauren Stevens, April 21st, 2016. One star, lower than low. Really wanted to watch this movie? Because I like the original so much. Extremely disappointed. Just wasted my money for a piece of pure garbage. The actors were terrible. This cannot compare to the original ones. The original was actually scary. This was just ultimately T-I-R-E-D.
Tired.
After seeing it on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it about a negative 30.
Oof, god damn.
I gave it one star in place of that. I gave it one star. This pathetic excuse is a waste of both money and time. Do not waste your money buying it. Pure trash.
Wow. Man, see? What is the deal? What is the deal?
You know, I don't know, but negative 30 and she settled for one star, so.
Can't give it zero stars, god damn it.
I think you should be able to. I think that needs to be a correction on Amazon. Give me a zero-star review rating system. I would love to see what those are like. I need to look back to see if you've listened to our series, or every series we've done, Maniac Cop 3, the only movie to never get a one-star review. I need to go back
and
see.
Greatest.
Yeah, I need to go back to see if it's still unscathed or not.
It's the greatest movie ever made.
By one-star science, you are correct, sir. I can't argue
God
with
damn
you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the internet knows. And they're never wrong.
Oh, no. We have one star left. You let me know if he's right or not. From Michael Gotti. January 15th, 2016. One star. The kind of bad that makes you mad. Why make this? This is friggin' awful. The kind of bad that makes you mad. IDK, why you do this when the original is 100 times better. They changed a lot of things, but they have no storytelling abilities like the original. Really bad movie here. Just watch the original. It's the story aspects that they changed that are so bad. The original feels like a real family. These actors all seem so fake in the movie. This sigh horrendous. I hope the studio losses money from this.
Damn. A
lot of not punctuations in there, and I just want to redo that last line, how he spelled it. I'm sure he meant to say, this is horrendous, I hope this studio loses money from this. But how he wrote it, and in the ether forever now, this sigh horrendous, I hope the studio losses money from this.
From this.
No period on the end either. What the fuck?
Yeah, just a goober.
I don't think this fits, but I do know of a film that does hit that for you. 100%.
Oh, yeah?
So bad it makes you mad?
Oh, yeah. Halloween Ends.
Oh, yeah.
I want to die.
Just bring it up slightly, and I can feel his blood pressure elevating from across several states.
You see my face turning beet red.
You're fluctuating a little bit, but apparently Mr. Gotti feels that way about Poltergeist.
Old John Gotti's son does not like the Poltergeist remake. Well, if that's the end of the Amazon one-star reviews, Evil, what does that mean?
It's time to do the only thing we can do at this point. Strap him up on... Blah, blah, blah. It's time to strap on the boots. Wake up Lemmy, give him a shot of whiskey, and tell him it's time to play the game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It's all about the game, and how you play it. I'll get a job when you get a job. I'm not doing the job.
She has a job. Her job is you kids. You motherfucking disrespectful fucking...
Don't try to roll me up, brother. I ain't doing the job.
Slap me. God damn it.
Oh, shit. Slap me. Good shit there. That's a deep cut for just you and me.
Mm-hmm. And the wife. which just sounds
that,
bad.
That sounds much worse now. You might have to explain it just to make sure you don't get the police called on you.
That's the through line. Ken Shamrock.
Ryan Shamrock storyline where he's feuding with his sister who is apparently got the hots for
hots
Billy
for
Gunn.
Val Venus?
Oh, Val Venus. Yeah. Val Venus. I was like, somebody with an ass.
Mm-hmm. Good old Val Venus. And then plain as day, you can hear him give her instructions.
Blood is thicker than water. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Slap me.
Slap me. Oh, fucking Ken Shamrock, the world's most piece of shit man. Goddamn, I hate him. But either way,
why do you hate Ken Shamrock?
Oh, he's a trash human being.
Why is he a trash human being? This is new shit to me. Stop everything. What the hell's going on with Ken Shamrock?
Oh, you have ESPN Plus. Go back and watch some of The Ultimate Fighter where he's the coach.
He coaches people?
Yeah. He's a coach on one of the seasons of Ultimate Fighter against Tito Ortiz. He's a piece of shit, dude. He's just...
Really?
He's a fucking childish cocksucker of a human being, and I can't stand even looking at him. So...
Really? Was it him or Keith Hackney that was punching the little Asian guy in the nuts like 17
that was Keith,
times?
That was Keith Hackney.
Keith Hackney, the air conditioning guy. Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a sidebar to a sidebar of a sidebar. And
I just had to stop the brakes on that. I've been like, wait, what's going on with Ken Shamrock? I don't know shit about him. Everything. He has goofy-ass fucking sideburns for a while, which I don't know if he still has. He's not aging well. I know that. He looks rough. But I didn't know anything bad about Ken Shamrock.
A couple clips from the show. Like, he's not a nice person. I don't like him.
I'll send you back the shot of Vader knocking his goofy-ass out in the first match they had on pay-per-view where... Shamrock is lighting him up, and Vader just fucking clocks him in the head.
Glorious. Yeah, anytime he gets hurt, I'm happy, but...
Vader shut that shit down real quick.
But going back to the game, if you're new here, welcome. But you're probably scratching your head asking yourself, what is the game? Well, the game is a deep cut in and of itself where you got to pick a prop from the movie that we are covering, but it can't be a well-known prop. And this is the Poltergeist remake, so nobody knows this movie or likes this movie, so I don't think there's anything that is a well-known prop, but...
The TV.
Yeah, be creative.
I'd say the TV or the drone.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, those are kind of... I guess those are low-hanging fruit for this movie. Pick something weird, pick something different. Let us know in the comments on the podcast or on Patreon or on Discord or on YouTube, wherever you find us. Let us know the prop you pick. Do you want me to go first this week, Evil?
Sure. I'm definitely curious what you would take from this film.
I have two things. I think that's just two becoming things. A motif. I think
yeah, we can't pick. We want multiple things now.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting greedier in our older age.
So, number one, which I almost deem low-hanging fruit, is piggy corn, the pig-stuffed animal.
You know, I wouldn't count that. And I honestly, I completely forgot about it until you said it. And I'm like, oh, that's a good through thing. That to me almost has the element of the doll from the Pet Sematary remake. that the mom is clinging to post-kid slaughter.
Right.
That's good. No, I like that.
Yeah, so that was...
Your initial.
Yeah, that was my initial one, but I wasn't sure if that would be deemed low-hanging fruit. So, number two is Sam Rockwell's expired credit card.
Ooh, shit. Which
one? Yeah, buddy. The first one that he tries.
What do you think it
I don't know. Probably MasterCard.
Ooh, MasterCard. Is MasterCard even still a thing? Maybe just... You know, Discover still has a fucking credit card?
I don't know anything about credit cards, so I just assume that they're all still things.
There's some that are completely not in business anymore, and Discover is one I was amazed to hear still is.
Yeah, man, we stay the fuck away from credit cards. So that's a slippery goddamn slope.
We grew up in an era where my mom would get a credit card just for that initial like purchase things because you get usually a good discount or a long time where you don't have to pay interest on it. So mm-hmm. she would sign up for these credit cards and we'd go someplace, get a purchase of something, and then she would just never use it again. So at one point, mom had like a baseball card folder full of credit cards she's never using again.
Nice. Sidebar to that, why credit cards freak me out so much is back in the day before I got married to my wife now, I had one of my buddies move in with me, and he was homeless prior to moving in with me. Well, he moved in with me and like got a job, but you know, then he had an actual address that he could claim, so he would get mail. And he got like one day I come home and he's like, dude, I got approved for a credit card. Da-da-da-da. And it's like a, I don't know, $2,000 limit. And so he did all the shit and then like had the credit card and bought like a magic bullet and then like, you know, $1,000 worth of fucking beef jerky and energy drinks, like spent all the money, maxed it out. And then like when he was living with me, he would get letters in the mail like, okay, dude, like this is your bill. And he'd just fucking be like, whatever, and throw them away. And then eventually he got
he's like the ladies man. Boat bill, cable bill. I love that. I bought a magic bullet and a shit ton of jerky.
Dude, that's how Jimmy was. Jimmy would be like, you know what, like, I don't know if this was just when Monster first came out or whatever, but he'd be like, you know, buying, you know, 30 cans of Monster, and they were like $4 a fucking pop. Like,
Jimmy the homeless jerky man.
Yeah, that's my dude, Jimmy. And yeah, he spent money like a goddamn goober and then, you know, realized, oh shit, I'm in trouble.
We're putting that character in a movie for sure. I want that Jimmy the homeless credit card scammer.
Yes. So that's real life. That is 100% real life that happened to me. Sorry to sidebar off of that, but what's your pick, Evil?
I just thought of going with the squirrel trap.
Oh, that's real good, though.
If I was not picking that, though, just to keep it on level playing grounds, if that was not deep cuttish enough, I'll go the place I kind of thought you might have gone, and I imagine this is a prop you'd probably steal from me, but I'll take the Sam Rockwell's pants.
Oh, nice. His red underwear.
No. I actually thought that I was going to go with the baseball, and I thought that may have been too deep cut-ish, but I thought that was a good character through line a little bit. We get that little bit for his character. Don't get shit for the wife's writing bit. Like, that should have played more of a story element to it. Like, maybe she's going to write the book of this movie now.
Right.
There's your sequel. There's your sequel right there.
Sidebar. Why is it every time we have one of these movies, like Insidious, let's just use the first Insidious for an example. Mom's a stay-at-home mom who fucking is a... She writes music. She's a fucking pianist
writer. Music.
Yeah, and then in this movie, the mom is like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, I'm a writer. Like, what is with that? That's a weird, like...
They're trying to key in for me, man. They're like, hey, your wife's a stay-at-home writer right now.
That's true.
That's how they're just trying to get me into the theater to pour money into this movie. They just want me.
Am I a stay-at-home writer right now?
Yes, you wrote...
Kind of, yeah.
You're writing movies.
That's weird. I'm a stay-at-home dad. I'm a writer. I'm a dishes doer and a laundry folder.
I mean, you still can't undersell that job. Like, I mean, that's that whole sidebar tangent of even employment places that really kind of give the shit into the stick to, like, well, whatever you've been working at. Like, I have a buddy that came out of the military, has not really been in a working environment. He's been a stay-at-home dad. And they're like, mm-hmm. Well, you haven't done shit in years, really. And you're like, really? He hasn't? He's been a PA for three people.
Right.
For 10 years, it feels like.
See, and that's like every time we, like if we have to go to the doctor or whatever and we have to fill out that paperwork or whatever, and it's like what, you know, it asks for like your professions. Like, so what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a director. Like,
I'm an award-winning filmmaker. That's what I would just put down for you. I'd put award-winning filmmaker.
Just like put.
Is it lying? Like, no, it's not. No.
Get stickers made of the laurels and just stick them on there.
I'd be writing that shit every time. Like, I'm an award-winning filmmaker. That's who the hell I am. You don't know who the hell I am?
It's weird. It's just weird to say out loud, you know, because then people go, oh, you make movies, huh? And then you got to fucking explain, like, well, I mean,
just say, like, Vince McMahon, like, we make movies here.
Yeah, that was fucking perfect.
We make movies.
I wasn't looking at the screen, and, like, I just heard, and I went, it snapped my head up.
We make movies.
That's fucking real good. He's gonna.
He's gonna puke.
God damn it.
We're gonna make a CD and call it Forcible Entry. Original title was, we're gonna call it WWE Rape.
Rape. God damn it. Oh, fuck.
How can you make a CD called Forcible Entry and not be and taken seriously ever? That's Vince
McMahon. What did they name their
It was Forcible Entry.
Oh, I thought it was like Aggression or something.
Oh, yeah, that was the rap CD they tried doing, but the rest of them were just the music volume 1, oh, the, 2, yeah. 3. But then they tried the metal version, which was Forcible Entry, which is Rape the CD.
Rape with a CD.
So, where are we going next, man? We've left this. We're done with the suburbs now, officially. This is the end of the suburbs run. We're getting out of the suburbs. Where in the hell can we go next?
I don't remember.
I guess we'll just get in the van and see where God takes us.
On that note, I suppose we should probably get going, because after all, there's a lot of movies out there and somebody's got to watch them. So why not us? Right?
Let me ask you something. Your dad, he's been out of work for a while, right?